Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Fix It with Faust here on Healthy Life Net, all positive talk radio. I'll be with you every second Thursday of the month, bringing you some of the most fascinating guests, all giving you invaluable information, some of which will absolutely change your life. For all of you, the Fix Your Addiction Handbook was published in mid-November. It and all of the books in the Fix Yourself Empowerment series are available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and your local retailers. You can find everything you need about the Fix Yourself Empowerment series on my website at www.fosterjerald.com. So today, everyone, I'm thrilled to be spending time with someone who's been on quite a life journey and who has much to share with you today. Sean Weiss started his acting career as Elvis on Pee-wee's Playhouse, and his breakout role came when he earned the part of Gregory Goldberg in the Mighty Ducks films. Following a horrible experience with addiction, however, he has now been sober for 4 years and is bringing his healing message to all of you today. Sean, welcome to Fix It with Faust.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you to speak on this topic this morning.
You know, it's been a wild ride. I mean, you know, people will see, okay, hey, he's been sober for 4 years, but before that was a whole different story. Yes?
Yeah, you can say that. I'm coming up, actually, January 25th will be 5 years.
5 years. So, wonderful.
Yeah, but you're right. Before then, you know, I was as bad as it gets. Before, you know, I really got clean because I got arrested and had an opportunity to do a drug diversion program. But before my arrest, my addiction really had completely ravaged my entire life, and I was at the point where for, you know, almost 3 years, I was living on the street and robbing stores, committing burglaries every single day to support my habit. And by the time I was arrested, I had one foot in the grave. I had walking pneumonia, and I was 90 pounds. And really, it is a miracle that I'm here speaking with you today.
You know, it's interesting. When you hear stories like yours, you know, people will often say, "Well, geez, you know, boy, that's right in front of you. You're going down the tubes. How do you, you know, you didn't stop?" Talk a little bit about that addicted brain and what goes on. What keeps it going?
Well, you know, very quickly, for me, my drug addiction came as a result of some mental health issues. And I was dealing with a convergence of situations, death in the family, a breakup, loss of my housing situation. So I was really tremendously depressed, and I had like this feeling that somebody was sitting on my chest. It was really a feeling that I was carrying around. And right when I started with meth and heroin, that sinking feeling went away. So it really was a performance enhancer, if you will, before it turned into addiction. And so very quickly, this performance enhancement turned into something that I just couldn't live without. And, you know, a normal functioning person, when they are without a home, they take certain steps to make sure they have shelter at night. But the addiction had captured me so viciously that all my thoughts each day was focused on getting my next bag. And that was the only thing that mattered to me, more so than even having shelter over my head. So really, it took away my will to make good decision.
You know, when people hear that, you know, like one of the first questions that comes to mind is, well, while this is all happening, do you know, gee, I'm addicted here, this thing is controlling my life, I got to do something to get sober, or that thought never enters your mind?
No, that's the, well, so we're talking about a 3-year period of time when I was out there on the street. And I'll tell you, for about the first 2 years, it didn't really occur to me. I was just, you know, I was just out there in the midst of it. But for the last year that I was out there, yes, I knew the situation. I was aware of it, and I wanted to get help. I just didn't have the resources. And for 1 year, every single bag of dope I bought was my last bag of dope I'm ever going to buy. And that cycle went on for an entire year where I literally wanted to stop, but just couldn't even head in that direction.
Right. In other words, you're getting right every day, I think, is the way most of my addicts would say. I just needed to get right. If I didn't do that, either I thought I was going to die or I was going to go crazy trying to figure
That's
it all
it.
Out.
That's it. It's the sickness. You know, you get dope sick when you don't have your stuff, and it's the fear. For me, it was the fear of that sickness that kept me addicted every day. I just didn't want to go through that illness, and, you know, it's enough to keep people from trying to quit. That's why I'm such a big proponent of the medically assisted treatment, but we'll probably get to that.
You're right, we will, yeah. You know, you talk about that I just don't want to go through the hell that I'm going to go through when I get off this thing. But in the meantime, it's also getting back to life without the addiction. You go back to the beginning of your story that says, you know, I had all this loss, and I was going with depression and mental health stuff, maybe anxiety, and this took it all away. When it's not only the immediate, gee, 2-3 weeks, I'm going to be sick, my body, I'm going to shake, I'm going to throw up, I'm going to do all that. Now I got to go back and figure out how I'm going to live life without this.
Exactly. It's scary.
So when you're thinking about, was that thought even in your mind, or was it just, I don't want to get sick?
You know, I don't want to be ill. It was all about the immediate gratitude. And beyond that, I don't think that I even was looking ahead towards the future. Probably I thought I was just going to die.
It's interesting. You thought you were going to die without the drug, but with the drug, that doesn't come into your mind?
No, I just figured that on the path I was heading, that I was headed for death. And it really didn't do much for me in the way of making plans for my future, is what I mean.
Okay. You know, I've had addicts that get to the point where they'll say, I've made peace with this. I know I'm not going to stop. And I just surrender to the addiction. Did that point come for you?
100%. Yeah, I can definitely identify with that. Because, you know, when I heard of other people getting clean, my initial thought was, well, they just don't love dope as much as I do. I could not imagine not using drugs. It had become such a part of my life that I couldn't imagine getting clean, nor did I really, this whole situation, I guess, was brought on by this lack of desire to live. I had really just given up, and I think that's what really made it possible for me to slide so deep down this slippery slope, is I just gave up on life completely. So, you know, a vicious cycle, really. How does somebody get out of that? If I hadn't met a judge, I don't think I would have.
Well, you know, a lot of people get to that point. It has to be something that actually pulls them off the addiction rather than giving it up. So now you get arrested, and, here comes jail, and here comes an alternate program, and you're going to say, obviously, anyone's going to say, sure, I'll go into that because I don't want to hardcore this into jail. So now you're in that alternate program. What were those first, what's that first week coming off the drug like?
Oh, man, you know, I wouldn't want to do it again, I'll tell you that much. You know, physically, it was just torture, really. I mean, my bones hurt. But psychologically, you know, I was up for the challenge because I really did want to get well. Now, the thing is, I had been to, I think, two or three state-run facilities, and I had left within 24 hours of walking in the front door. Because those places really are, they're not environments that you want to be in. So the fact that I was afforded a chance to go to a sort of an upscale treatment place really made the difference for me, because it was a very comfortable environment, and, you know, from going from living on the street, they put me on a king size bed and I had a jacuzzi in the room. So my situation was definitely set up to encourage me to want to focus on recovery.
So you know, the physical part, anyone can probably think about it. When I get people into treatment, they'll come in, you know, and I'll check in on them. They'll say, "You don't know what this is like. My hair hurts." You know, I mean, it's that bad. You know, got that. What were you dealing with emotionally? Now the prop is gone. The crutch is out of the way. You got life on life's terms, but you got that immediate emotional thing that hits you. It's like a Mack truck hits you. How were you dealing with that?
Yeah, that's the other thing. When the drug is gone, now you're left dealing with these problems that you were masking with the drugs. So, I mean, I fortunately had a situation where I had such unbelievable support from everybody. And so emotionally, I guess during that time, I was kind of overwhelmed by the outreach of support for people. And, you know, they'll tell you in recovery that you have to get clean for yourself. But in the early stages of my recovery, I didn't have a self to want to get clean for, to be honest with you. So really, my initial desire was set forth by the support I got from people. I didn't want to let people down. So initially, that was really one of my biggest motivations to stay the course in treatment, is I didn't want to lose the support that I had been getting from people.
It's an interesting thing you just said there, and we've all heard this all the time. You know, it's not going to work unless you're doing it because you really want to do it. You're doing it for yourself. And you made such an important comment there. I didn't have a self. How does one even begin to do that? If you don't have the outside support, if you don't have, whether it's the program or people in your life, you don't even know who to come home to, do you?
That is 100% right. I mean, I think it's one of the biggest factors. Residential treatment is not very successful. Only 4% of people that go into a residential treatment stay clean after a year. I really don't know how someone would deal with that without outside help. I mean, I had, luckily, you know, the support of dozens of people. And, you know, that's an excellent question. How do you begin building yourself back? Fortunately, I had this is the point I was going to make. So, you know, in residential treatment, it's not very successful. And I've been looking at all kinds of ways to help increase people's odds. And that's one of the areas that I think is crucial. So in my situation, I had the benefit of being able to start a completely new life because I came from being on the street. So I didn't have to... I was starting from zero, basically. But I see a lot of folks, they come out of residential treatment and they go back to their old life and their old situation. And I think it becomes incredibly hard to go back to these situations without getting caught in the same loop. So I think it's incredibly important that people, I mean, basically, you have to build a new life. Your old life is gone. So I think the best outlook is in starting from scratch. So how does one do that? I mean, you know, definitely I would start at the AA meeting. Would be a great place to start.
You know, when you talk about that, yeah, you're right. I think you're actually readjusting. You're creating some real new parts of your life. That usually means you have to trust other people, since the identity you have and the strength from that identity is gone, or at least severely compromised. Now you're leaning on other people, and you have to be able to trust what they're doing and trust them with your life. That doesn't usually come easy to an addict.
No, and that was definitely one of the major differences in my approach in this course of my life. I told myself that, and basically it was surrender, Faust. I decided at an early stage in the jail cell that I was going to surrender to this process, and for the first time in my life, I wasn't going to be the smart guy in the room, you know? I wasn't going to be the guy with all the answers. I had decided to just surrender and go along with the process. And I got to say, that was probably my biggest weapon in this whole process, was the decision I made to surrender.
When you talk about that, you know, even in the new book I wrote, I have a chapter on what I call powerful surrender. For you, that whole process, it's not just, okay, I give up, I surrender. It's now there's an attachment part of it. What am I going to surrender to? And then how am I going to do that? With whom? All those kinds of things. You just let go and let other people tell you what to do, and you did that? Or were you an active
basically,
player?
Yeah, that was, you know, that's what was fundamentally my outlook. You know, I was... I had surrendered to, you know, they came, I was in a jail cell, and a cop came into my cell, and he said, "Is this you?" And he showed me his cell phone, and on the cell phone was a picture of me on the Heavyweights movie poster. And if you're not familiar with that poster, it's four little fat kids holding up a guy that's dressed as a hot dog. And he said, "Is this you?" And I thought to myself, oh man, you know, there I was in a jail cell. There was news stories about me in the media. There was a narrative that I didn't agree with. They had accused me of doing something that I didn't think I did. And I just, if I didn't surrender, I would have gone crazy peeling the paint off the walls in my jail cell. And so for the very first time, I just thought to myself, my best judgment has landed me in the situation it's landed me. And it's just not working. So once I decided to surrender, it was almost instantly like a burden had been lifted off my shoulder.
So now you surrender, but as we know, addicts are master manipulators. Defenses operate at a maximum. And it's not like they say, okay, I'm with you, let's surrender. What do you do when little triggers come in, you know, and they say, no, you can look at it this way, or that bargaining comes through. Well, we can do that part of the program or surrender that much, but hold back a little bit. Or were you just able to say, okay, I'm done, take me?
That was really where I was at. I started to, you know, really how I think it happened for me was I started to pray to God. I started making prayers. I don't even know if you're there, God, but if you are, a great way to prove your existence would be to help me get this monkey off my shoulder. I wanted to get clean so bad that I was willing to really do anything.
Okay, so at that point, you were one of the people that hit rock bottom, knew there's no place to go. There was no down further except death. So surrender was surrender all the garbage, surrender to the will of other people, to God, and that was your starting block.
That was it. And rock bottom, you said it right there. That was it. It's my belief that people don't quit drugs until they've hit their rock bottom. And I don't think people understand what rock bottom is. Rock bottom, it means you don't have a choice.
You do it or die.
That's it. People think they've hit rock bottom, but they haven't. When you're there, you know it.
You know it. All right, everyone, we've come to the end of our first segment. You're listening to Fix It with Foss here on Healthy Life Net, all positive talk radio. We're going to take a break for a few minutes, then we'll be back with more from Sean Weiss. Stay right here.
It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with The Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustRuggiero.com. Remember, it's the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Faust Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. That's FaustRuggiero.com. FaustRuggiero.com. Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy. It's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FaustRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Fix It with Faust, everyone. We're talking with Sean Weiss today, and we've been laying down a lot of the, you know, the basic fundamental information about addiction. And right now, we're going to move it into some of the, you know, the treatment modalities and some of the things people can do, you know, to get this started. And Sean's got his own spin on this. So, Sean, give us a little bit of what you got.
Well, I had a breakthrough early on in my treatment at residential. They showed us a very important video. And the video was about something they call the hedonic scale. Now, the hedonic scale is a something they use to quantify pleasure, to measure pleasure, right? So Dave, a normal guy having a normal day, his number on the hedonic scale is 60. Now, if Dave has a date with a beautiful girl that night and he's very excited for it, that number is 80. If Dave is depressed, that number is around 40. Now, if Dave puts his lips on a meth pipe, that number is 1,200. So that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with the 1,200. So, Faust, how to get somebody that's experienced the 1,200 to never want to experience the 1,200 again? It's almost impossible.
And
I mean,
that's one
you can hold
addict,
off, but relapse is almost inevitable.
Yes.
So really, my focus and the thing that has been most instrumental in my recovery is in literally learning how to achieve, and I don't know how this will be accepted, but learning how to achieve euphoric states without external inputs. So long story short, it's taken me a few years, but I can sit in a corner and close my eyes, and I can flip those switches in my brain, and I can feel incredible states of euphoria without any external input. Without that, I don't know that I would have been able to recover.
You know, it's interesting what you're saying. If you break it down into terms, the medical terms, it's the neurotransmitters in the brain that stimulate the brain, so the brain now adjusts to a very heightened state of euphoria. Then when an addict comes off the drug, that is gone, and nothing else, it's like a depression, nothing else looks good, because they're trying to get stimulation from outside of themselves. What you've been able to do, obviously, is remove that part, that piece of it, and begin to identify with what's inside you, which is what I teach all the time. All the power we have is inside us, not from outside us. So what? Give us a little bit of the evolution of that.
I found an online program. It was called Inner Engineering. And the program taught me a very basic yogic practice. And I began to do this yogic practice, and after 6 months, I started waking up in a joyful mood. Now, you're talking about a guy who, you know, to get me out of bed, used to take an hour, a few pills, a couple beers, and, you know, maybe some porn. That's how I used to get out of bed. Now I'm waking up with a smile on my face. So this is just a yogic practice that sort of restructures your energy system. I can't explain how it works, but I can just tell you that it worked for me. And this idea of waking up in a joyful mood, it completely revolutionized my whole recovery, because, you know, that's really fundamentally what my problem was, is I did not know how to be. I wasn't a human being. Since a very young age, I had all this stimulation, and I was in the movie business, and I was always traveling and always doing all these exciting things, that when I didn't have those things, life became sort of boring for me. So I just didn't know how to be happy. I was always reaching, even when I had $1 million. I had $1 million when I was 16 years old. And I remember vividly driving in my BMW M3 down Sunset Boulevard and being at a red light and being upset because the guy next to me had a Ferrari. So I just didn't, you know, I didn't have any appreciation for anything. And unfortunately, you know, we all have our journey. Unfortunately, I had to lose every single thing to be able to appreciate even the simplest things. And now as it is, I mean, I really do appreciate each breath that I take. So really for me, taking the time, you know, yoga is very much like going to the gym. You don't get muscles on your first day. You have to do it in a disciplined way. And really learning how to learning how to pinpoint my own happiness and developing a system and a discipline where I really don't start my day until I'm in a good mood. I close my eyes, and it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. It doesn't matter what credit card companies are blowing up my phone or who's mad at me or whatever is going on the outside. My number one priority each day is close my eyes, become joyful. And then when I'm joyful, I can handle anything life puts at me. When I'm crappy or, you know, not feeling great, then the slightest things are able to throw me off of my track.
I'll tell you what I just heard from you, and I'm running this back to the previous segment. I realized when I hit bottom and I needed to go out and you know, surrender, I had no self to surrender to. It sounds to me like what you've done is to create a self for you.
Yeah, when you say that, hearing you say that, it rings true. It makes a lot of sense. And I think I've never really come to terms with that the way you've just put it, but I think that's accurate.
So, I mean, now, you're talking about getting up in the morning and, so to speak, coming home to yourself. You start the day with yourself, you're the person you are, who you are connecting with and developing, and you're putting it into a positive place in the morning, connecting with that, and that reduces your need for external stimulation, comparison, envy, all those kinds of things, and you are now really a more efficient master of your own destiny, so to speak.
That is it. That's 100% what it is. And that was really, you know, I speak about this inner engineering program. That's really what it did for me. It helped put the keys in my hand. It helped me understand that I was in the driver's seat of my own experience in life. And, you know, it dawned on me that the aggravation, the stress, the depression that I had been dealing with that led to my addiction problems, those problems were all interior, and they were caused by me. Coming to terms with that is a tremendous empowerment when you understand that you're in control of your own destiny.
All right, everyone. We have come to the end of our second segment. Again, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to be right back here with Sean Weiss. So stay with us.
Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Fausto Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get The Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustoRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustoRuggiero.com. Remember, it's The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustoRuggiero.com.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustoRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy, it's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FaustoRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
If you're not in the U.S., listen up. SureTrader is one of the most trusted and reliable names in share trading. With 6-to-1 leverage and other perks, SureTrade is the best for penny stocks and day trades. To find out more, visit our advertiser page and click on the SureTrader banner.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Fausto Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustoRuggiero.com. That's FaustoRuggiero.com. FaustoRuggiero.com. It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Fausto Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with The Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustoRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook now.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Sean Weiss today. You know, we talked a little bit about what the addiction's about and how he got there. And in the last segment, we're talking about some of the things you can do internally to change your life. But, you know, as you get into recovery, and this is something I think very important for everyone to understand, you just don't go into recovery and you are now better. You will wrestle with it for a while, and the addiction will pull, and a new life will pull, and there's a way you learn to manage that part of it, Sean. How did that work for you?
Well, you know, very early on, I was in the residential treatment, and they tell you, you know, one of the little hacks they give you is you tell yourself you're just staying clean for today. Just for today, just make it through today. And I sort of adopted that policy, but with a slight twist. And I was telling myself, just appease these people till the end of today, and at some point we'll be able to get high again. And that was my plan. I was in treatment, and I literally told myself, you and your girlfriend, my drug of choices, you guys will be back together someday. Just you love her enough to where you can miss her from afar. Just play along here, and it's someday you'll be back on the pipe. And I used to literally go to sleep fantasizing about that day, you know, in the near future where these people won't be watching me and I'll be able to sneak away. And at some point, Faust, it just dawned on me that that thinking wasn't going to work, and that if I stayed in that space mentally, I was going to end up right back where I began. It clicked on me that the same behavior and doing the same things were going to enter me right back in the same spot. So how did I turn the corner? So I'm in there, like I say, my own feeling is I don't see how anybody quits drugs. These people don't love drugs as much as I do, and I'm smarter than them. I'll give the appearance that I'm clean. I'll let them give a good report back to the judge, but as soon as I get out of here, I'm getting right back to the pipe. I had that mentality, and I didn't know what to do. So literally, I just started to pray. I started to pray to God, if you're there, please take this monkey off of my shoulders. That was all I had, Doug. And one day, I would say after about maybe 20 days of being in the residential treatment, one day we were all in the group room, and a movie came on. And in the movie, there was a scene where a drug dealer throws a big bag of heroin on the table. And typically in these situations, I would see that bag of heroin and my mind would go racing about what I would do with it and where I would put it and who I would share it with and how, where I would do it. But this time, I saw the drug and I had like a repulsive reaction. I was repulsed by it. And I was so surprised by my own reaction that I jumped up in the middle of the treatment facility, and I started crying, and I just knew at that moment that the monkey had been lifted off my shoulders. I knew at that moment, clear as day, that I was done being on drugs. They even wrote notes about it in the, you know, the tech on duty described it in their notes. You know, in treatment, they take very detailed notes about everything that happens, and if you look back at my treatment report, you'll see it. It's dated. Wife jumped up and started screaming hallelujah. So it was a very clear moment for me, and it was only possible by my earnest intent to and desire to really want to get clean. And I think that's one of the requirements to being clean. You have to want to get clean. I see a lot of addicts. They have it in the back of their mind that someday I'll be able to use moderately, I'll be able to sneak one in here and there, and that someday I'll be able to do things, you know, in a normal way. And it's just you're doomed if you have that mindset, in my opinion. I lived in sober living for almost 3 years, and, during the course of my recovery, I have literally seen hundreds of young people come in and out of treatment. And that is one of the most important things that I've noticed, that people, when they are in treatment because somebody put them there, like a judge or a parent or a cop, and they don't really want to be there, it's very hard to recover. So my advice to anybody that's trying to get clean is you have to establish within yourself a real, genuine desire to want to be clean. Until you have that, if you have it in the back of your mind that you'll be able to sneak one in, I really believe you're doomed.
You know, you jumped up and it's hallelujah. What were you feeling at that moment?
Joy. Joy, because literally in an instant, the possibility of having a life again presented itself to me. Literally, I remember that day and thinking, well, there is a way out. This is possible, and if I stay the course and just don't do anything to mess up my own progress, everything will be okay. It was definitely a spiritual moment. And for me, that's exactly what the 12 steps are. 12 steps are, it's an instruction manual on how to have a spiritual awakening. Even the last step says that. It says, after having had a spiritual awakening, through going through these steps. And the guys who came up with that 12-step program, which I really believe is like a prophecy, they maintain that without this spiritual awakening, we're not going to recover, because they say that's the very reason we're addicts in the first place, is because we lack a connection with God. And I'm almost at a point where I believe it, and I co-sign every word of that.
You know, being, as we were talking on the break, a non-recovering person who has worked with addicts for 40 years and I know the program inside and out, as I mentioned to you, and I think people have heard me say before, I use the 12-step program every day. I learned it to work with addicts. However, for those of you listening, if you haven't picked this up yet, this is not just a program for addicted people. It's a program for life. If you work this program every day, you're guaranteed your life will change.
I love that word you said, guaranteed, Faust, because it literally is a guarantee. I've not seen any person that tried their best to give an earnest attempt at the 12 steps. I've never seen anybody fail with it.
And
so that's definitely a guaranteed program.
Yeah, you know, again, for those of us that aren't recovering, the day at a time living, the surrender, when you surrender, you're surrendering the junk that you were addicted to or focused on or with life to a higher power that is a power. We can talk about this forever. What I look at here, and what I wanted to mention to you, hallelujah went up, you felt joy, you felt everything else, but I'm wondering, did you feel a different and more positive form of euphoria in that moment?
I don't know. I mean, when I say euphoria, I'm literally talking about like the sensation in the body. And I guess you're probably talking about the same. And I don't think it was along those lines where I didn't have a physical sensation. It was mostly my psyche. My psyche had been repaired. And yes, definitely there was a certain lightness in the body that was associated with that feeling, because the way you think is the way you feel. So definitely thoughts of having been saved definitely rippled through my chemistry.
All right, everyone, we've come to the end of another very interesting segment on this week's episode. So we're going to take a little break, be back to wrap things up with Sean Weiss. So please stay right with us.
Hey there, wake up. Take your life off of autoplay and learn how to navigate your life using healthy routines and practices. Discover how to live more fully without the need of lies or defenses. Imagine confronting others peacefully. Well, there's one proven way to do it. Get the Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. Come on, you know you want to improve your emotional IQ, and with the Fix Yourself Handbook, it's easy. It's fun, and it works. So get out of autoplay and fast forward to FaustRuggiero.com and buy the handbook now.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
It's time to live every day in the moment, so your life will flow at a healthy and happy pace. When you live in the moment, you can deal with change better and learn how to achieve your goals easier. Find out how in Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook. Make your life simple and easy using a successful blueprint for a happy life with the Fix Yourself Handbook. This is your moment to improve your life. Go to FaustRuggiero.com and pick up your copy of the Fix Yourself Handbook now.
ASMC, the premier German company that supplies everything for adventure, from outdoor clothes to outdoor gear, even backpacks. Lots of quality and lots of specials. To start your adventure, go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ASMC.
Loving yourself. Sometimes it's hard to do that, and sometimes you just don't know how. Now there's a way to help you understand how to love yourself. Faust Ruggiero's The Fix Yourself Handbook gives you a toolbox of formulas and routines to help you address how to love yourself and towards a life that is a healthy, progressive journey. Get your copy of The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com. That's FaustRuggiero.com. FaustRuggiero.com. Life is a process, and once you know how to master that process, you will have a life filled with creativity and passion. Faust Ruggiero's book, The Fix Yourself Handbook, will help you master the process to become your authentic self, living in peace and harmony. Get The Fix Yourself Handbook today at FaustRuggiero.com. You'll gain the wisdom you need with this wonderful and practical guide. Do it now at FaustRuggiero.com. Remember, it's The Fix Yourself Handbook at FaustRuggiero.com.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Sean Weiss today, and you know, we've given you a lot of information, but you know, you all know how I operate, whether I'm writing or I'm doing the show. You know that I'm an actionable person. I want to say, okay, now we got all this information. What do we do with this? So, Sean, here's people are listening. They may have a person in their life who's addicted, or they may themselves be dealing with this. In your experience and from what you've learned in the past 5 years, how do they? What's the best way to get started? How, you know, I'm feeling horrible. What do I do here?
Well, I have a couple things. Number one, obtain a copy of the big book, the Alcoholics Anonymous big book. Like you said, it contains in it the directions for the 12-step program, which applies to everyone, not only addicts. And I've never seen anybody that made a real earnest attempt to do the 12 steps fail. So I think that would be the number one recommendation I would have, would be to get a copy of that book. And anybody that's struggling with addiction, you start reading that book, and it's almost prophetic. It's like when I read it, it was like the authors were talking to me specifically. I mean, there's even a chapter in it about, like, you're an actor. And I was like, this is eerie. How the hell did they do this? So that book is such an amazing book that brings forth some principles that can really help you get control of your life. The second thing I would recommend was that program that I mentioned to you. It's called Inner Engineering, and it can be found online. And it's an online course. It costs a little bit of money, but that program put my life in my own hands and really helped me become the master of my own thoughts and emotions, which I had never even thought to be in control of before. But that's what we're dealing with here. You have to learn to take control of your own thoughts and emotions. So the 12 steps, inner engineering, and I have one other thing. What the hell was that? Oh, geez, what was it? Hold on, give me a second here. Oh, yes. So, the inner engineering, the 12-step program, and the other thing that's been most important in my life and that I see making a difference in whether people recover or not is having a passion in life. Having a passion. You have to have something that you're passionate about, a goal, a direction, somewhere you want to be. If you don't have that, it's like getting in a car and trying to, you know, driving with no destination versus putting in an address in the GPS. If you put an address into the GPS, even if you make a wrong turn, it course corrects you and you're going somewhere. And I find that is really, it changes my day. If I have something that I'm passionate about, a goal that I'm trying to do, it just helps me organize my life. When I don't have that, I'm sort of directionless. And I see that as being a common trait in addicts who get stuck in a rut. They don't have anything that they're passionate about, anything that they're trying to accomplish, and therefore they just, you're heading off without a direction. So that would be my three pieces of advice. The 12 steps, the inner engineering program, and cultivating a passion for something within yourself. Find a direction that you want your life to go in, and when you're dedicated and you're committed to ending up at that goal, a lot of your problems in life seem to fall to the wayside because all you care about is getting what you want done. And so I find that just life is a lot easier to trudge through, and it's a lot easier to deal with the things that pop up when I have something that I'm passionately trying to pursue.
And those are all such great points, everyone. You know, you want to get into the program, you know, and I'll just add one little piece, which is actually a big piece, is never keep an addiction to yourself. If you do so, you're stuck in your own head, and you're going to keep on repeating your behaviors. Get other people involved. Get a support network. And then do all the things Sean's saying. Get the big book. It says big book for alcoholics. Okay, that's fine. It's for anyone, and it's definitely for any addiction. You know, in the new book, I have 17 addictions, and in every one of them, I say 12 steps. You know, there are numbers to call. Call people. Your primary physician, the local 12-step program, other alcoholics or drug addicts. Get other people in the program who can be part of your network, who you can call anytime you need to.
I think network is a very important word, Faust, and that was one of the biggest challenges in my recovery, was making new friends. Like, I basically burned down my life before I got into recovery, and I cut everyone and everything off. So when I got out, it was very important to make connections with people that were sober. And being a 45-year-old guy, it's not incredibly easy to make friends.
Right.
But I had the wherewithal, and I knew that it was important in my recovery to create a support system. And so I did it. I did I put in the effort, you know, meeting someone in the meeting and taking the time then to text them and check in with them and see how they're doing. And, you know, it takes effort to create relationships, but it's crucial to, you know, the way you put it, building back a new self. So that was another thing that I think was really helpful to me, the fact that I was coming from a homeless situation, so I really didn't have a life to return to. I was able to return to zero. But I think that's another huge element, is creating connections with sober people. And where you used to have a hangout group where you guys would go and do a 12-pack, now you have a different hangout group where you guys go and discuss positive things. It makes a difference, a huge difference.
Makes a huge difference. And, you know, one last thought before we let Sean tell us how to find him is, everyone, think about this. When we talk about commitment and work and doing all these things to get and stay sober and have a happy life, think about how much time and energy you put into the addiction. I will guarantee you that when it comes to sobriety, you will not put that kind of energy out. You will not be going crazy and have everything invested in one crazy little place. You will simply have a nice, calm, tranquil way to deal with your life and to have that self that you want to create. So, you know, when you look at all the work, think about all the work you've been doing. You're just changing it to positive. That's all.
When I think about, Faust, when I think about the effort all the effort that I put in having five or six different doctors prescribe me Vicodin, the effort it took, if I had to put that effort into my business life, I'd be a millionaire.
And that's what I tell everyone. If you do, just put that kind of effort in. Sean, it's been wonderful. Tell everyone, if you would, how they can reach you, how they can find, you know, what you're doing, the comedy stuff, everything. Give them a chance to hook up.
It has also been a pleasure speaking with you, Faust. You know, I get people reach out to me for interviews and podcasts, but your pamphlet that I looked over really struck me as being a helpful and useful and a powerful thing to read, so that's why I wanted to come on and talk to you, because I think that what's the name of your
the book is now the Fix Your Addiction Handbook.
Right. I mean, I just flipped through a few pages and it was like, geez, this stuff is really good. So I mean, that's why I decided to come on and speak with you. So it has been a pleasure talking about some of these ideas. I hope people find it helpful. It would really make a lot of the suffering I went through on the street, it would make that stuff meaningful to me if I thought that some people were able to find some inspiration or solace. Everyone can find me on Instagram. It's just my name, Sean Weiss. You'll see the blue check mark. And I keep in touch with everybody on there. And I really do want to be helpful and useful. So if you're listening to this and you ever need somebody that's sober to reach out to, you can always drop me a line. And I pretty much keep in touch with everybody on there. So don't hesitate. Reach out even if you just want to say hello.
And you all know that same goes for me. And keep in mind that part of that 12-step program is to be in service of other people. So if you're all thinking, gee, I don't want to get in touch with Sean and I want to bother him, what you're doing is helping him work his part of the program at this point. So please,
exactly.
If you need to get in touch with him or me, you know how to do that. Sean, it has been an absolute pleasure to be spending time with you today.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So, everyone, that concludes this week's Fix It with Faust radio show here on Healthy Life Net, all positive talk radio. In a month from today, I'll be back with another episode of Fix It with Faust, so don't miss us. 1 month today, from today, that's February 13th at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Until then, stay safe, everyone. Have fun creating your world, and here's to the power inside you. God bless.